Blog Talk Radio.
Why be afraid if I'm not alone? Life is never easy, rest is unknown. And up to now for me it's been hands against all.
Good afternoon, everyone, and welcome to Dr. Catherine May's Blog Talk Radio Program Channel Panel. As a beginning to today's program, let's alight together our individual pillars of light as we've been guided by the Company of Heaven. So you may have your own favorite way of doing this, but I'll weave a few words in there together for people who are new. And we're doing this together so we can maximize the feeling and experience of light and love flowing across the rainbow bridge in our connection. So everybody take a deep breath. And in your own way, alight your beautiful diamond in the center of your mind. Some people envision it blue, but whatever works for you. And then envision your beautiful diamond in the center of your heart. Some people use pink. But whatever works best for you. And then light your beautiful diamond in the center of your solar plexus. Some people here use the color white. Again, whatever works in your favorite way. And then feel the integrity with these three diamonds of your own individual ascension pillar. And then together, reach down through your pillar and connect to the crystal core of our beautiful planet, Terra. And grab hold and don't let go. Feel her love coming back up the pillar. And then together, linked with Terra in your heart, reach up all the way up through your crown, all the way up and connect with Mother and Father God who are there with hands awaiting. And as you do this, of course, you join with your higher self, always your twin, the Company of Heaven, who are all there together. And then feel the integrity of your own individual pillar. This always stays intact. No matter who you link with or where you go, this is yours forever. But since we're on this call together, and we're doing this beautiful worldwide work, let's expand our energy and our pillar and link with each other. Energetically, we all come together as one beautiful, shining beacon, this pillar of light that can be seen across the multiverse and has its own unique, beautiful part. Connects with our grid, what we'll hear more about today. And now we're all joined together, always remembering that your individual pillar is yours, always intact, as we join together. Take another deep breath, and we are one. And we can begin our call together. Welcome, everyone, to our special Sunday program. A few announcements, very special, before we get started with our program. I want to announce for everyone who doesn't yet know, there will be a special Syrian Peace Meditation tomorrow, February 1st. It's been called World Synchronized Meditation for the Children of Syria. This has already been an ongoing meditation with over 200,000 people around the world, but the focus will be synchronize tomorrow. Maybe we can send out, when we hear the exact time we're all going to be linking, maybe we can send out that time. I think it's announced today, so we'll get something out to everyone. This event will be joined together with many world leaders, religious leaders, and cultural leaders around the world, especially our Dalai Lama and the Pope Francis. So add your energy together for this special worldwide meditation. Also, I get to announce, along with an email, that we'll be connecting with our new Earth Times newsletter, the announcement of the Global Reset being officially announced by Christine Lagarde, our chair of the IMF, our International Monetary Fund. We'll hear more about how this impacts us individually as our days roll out. But this is a very exciting announcement. So with that, a few other ways that you can connect with us and this information. We have a New Earth Times newsletter that if you don't receive yet in your email, you can go to our website, whoneedslight.org, and you'll see a sign-up button at the top. Just give us your email, and you'll receive all these announcements plus our channeled messages from the Company of Heaven with our channelers directly into your email box. Also on our Who Needs Light website, you'll see Dr. Catherine May's book, Who Needs Light, which Mother of God has called our Manual for Ascension. If you don't have a copy of that, it's vital for your library. Also, you can find her visual centering work with volunteers on her YouTube channel, Dr. Catherine E. May. You'll see various volunteers that are working with the visual centering exercises, which are part of her book. And we also have a Facebook page, Who Needs Light, where you can find our messages together there. And with that, we'll announce that our today's program, our special Sunday program, is called The World Described from the Grid, Fireside Chat with Christine, Archangel Michael, Sananda, Catherine, and myself, where we're going to be interviewing Christine along with Michael and hearing new information, and very inspiring, with Christine's lifelong work, with her ability to see, feel, and experience the grid, and maybe just learn what that is and how we interact with it. So welcome, everyone. With that, I'll say hello, and we'll get this wonderful party started. Hi, everyone.
Hi, Meg. It's Catherine.
Hi, Catherine. Hi, Christine.
Thank you for that. Yes, Christine's right here with me with that lovely introduction. Thank you. I know people who've been listening for years, I still get emails from people saying, how do I get the link for the Blog Talk Radio show or something like that? It's always in our newsletter. Plus, you can just go to Blog Talk and look up Channel Panel, and we're here. So, and that goes for a whole lot of other questions that people might have about accessing our work. I think I'm going to change the title for today and call it A Tour of the Grid. So Christine and Michael are ready. They are so ready to talk to us. But I'm just going to sort of lay some groundwork here. So to help people get ready to really listen and feel comfortable, because a lot of what you're going to hear today would normally not make any sense. So you have to be in a really good frame of mind to absorb and really let it soak in. Also, I received an email, or a couple of them, last night about the peace meditation and the children in Syria, that it would be 7 a.m. Pacific time, 10 Eastern time in the U.S., and the rest of you who are from Europe and so on can figure it out from there.
Oh,
yes, there is a group that are sending their meditation energies focused to Syria and to help create peace with ISIS and... Are they? I didn't hear that. I know they're going to be grounding all of our energies. They're there to ground it and to transmit it outward, and it'll transmit to the entire Middle East. So the more people, the more powerful this transmission will be. And oh gosh, I should have written down his name. I'm not good at names anymore. But we should give credit to the fellow who, wonderful light worker who initiated this and is right now on the border of Syria in ISIS occupied, right close to ISIS occupied territory, and has with him a rabbi.
James Twyman.
Oh, it's James Twyman. Right. Thank you. Several clerics from different religions who are also going to be bringing their energies to really merge this uplifting and heartfelt prayer for peace and help for the children in Syria and across the Middle East, of course. So that's really important. Tomorrow, 7 Pacific, 10 Eastern time in the U.S. And it doesn't, you know, it doesn't have to be just at that moment either. They're there now. So we're going to start, at the end of this call, sending our energies all together. Okay, a tour of the grid. So I'm going to give you a little intro about how we're going to approach this. It's really helpful, I think, to understand what is ascension, what's the difference between the way we're used to doing things and a higher dimensional way. So we need to really create a picture for ourselves of what it is we're doing. So I made a little list, and as I was, I saw things being sort of separated out. This is the way we used to do things. This is the way we're going to do things now. And it ended up to be a list of expansion versus deduction or contraction. And this is the way we've been taught to think, and what we've been rewarded for is the deduction, contraction that brings us down, that narrows things down to an answer. We had to learn to do that because we, just coming here to planet Earth, was a descending experience. We had to learn how to descend and how to manage what we're doing here. So we had to learn a whole new way of thinking and acting that was all about being analytic about, and this is what we call discernment, is you take everything you know and you boil it all down to the kernel of what you think is the most true. What we're going to do today is the opposite of that. First, start by being very relaxed, and since you're in your pillar of light, that is safety, being relaxed. And you're going to let the words and the transmissions that are going to be coming through, that are now coming through, to just wash over you, be in your field. You don't have to accept or reject anything. That's the old way. You don't have to say yes or no. You don't have to see if it's right or wrong. You simply listen with curiosity, gratitude, and kindness. And as we were talking about this, we searched for words that were sort of untainted, that are very clear and that contain the energy of expansion and they are curiosity, gratitude, and kindness. Now, you may have others that work for you, but those are generally accepted words that really capture the sense of expanding. As opposed to, this is what we're leaving behind. You don't have to think, how does this fit in with what I already know and has been proven by science or what other people agree with? We don't have to think about whether it's dangerous to think about these things or whether this is a big waste of time. That's all the old deduction stance. I want to also put in something here as a kind of caveat. This is not letting go, quote. It's not surrender, and it's not giving permission. It's simply, that would be contracting. It's simply being at peace no matter what goes on around you. And acknowledging, you know, everybody talks about raise your vibration. It means acknowledging your natural expansion. Mother and father are expanding. The company of heaven is expanding. We're expanding. Everyone is expanding. It's part of our nature. It's who we are. It's what we're made of, because this is how Mother and Father God are. So this is just a matter of perceiving and knowing. It has nothing to do with being right. It has nothing to do with asking how, when, where, what, and why. So for now, just relax. Play with what you're learning today. Just let it float around you. Let it touch you. Let it wash over you. You don't have to decide anything. You don't have to agree or disagree. Just enjoy. And in the process of this show, I know this is was kind of a long introduction, but I'm talking everybody through this so that I don't get 150 emails asking me to please explain. And probably this is going to be a show that you'll want to all listen to more than once, because there's going to be a lot coming through. Michael has already told us everything he says is going to be imbued with the energy of expansion. It's going to be, you'll feel it as you hear our words. So this is not something you can figure out, but it is something you can feel. So we're going to ask questions of Christine, who is our in-house grid worker. Things like, what is the grid? What is the matrix? What is a frequency? What is time? What is a word? What is prayer? And I have a couple to add to this too, because I get emails all the time. What about Nibiru, Planet X? Aren't we all going to be annihilated very soon? And another one I get all the time. I read this and I read that, and I've read all these things that don't agree with you, and how do I know what to believe? Open your hearts, folks. Take a deep breath. We're not trying to teach anybody to believe anything. We just want to help with ascension. And ascension, now this brings me back to the beginning of what I was saying. Our ascension is turning 180 degrees and going back up the ladder, the ascension ladder. So we need to leave behind all the things that we learned in order to descend. And now learn the stance. It's really not a technique or a learning or a lesson. It's really turning around and opening your eyes, looking out with curiosity and gratitude and kindness. And that will get you there. It's not a secret. It's not a mystery. But in a lot of ways, it is the opposite of what we learned. So this is why it's hard. We fell in love with all those nifty techniques and procedures and analytic tactics that were so effective working with the third dimension. So there's nothing wrong with them. They really worked, and a lot of us studied very hard to learn and got degrees in learning how to do that. But now it's time to turn around, open your hearts, open your minds, and we are going to interview Christine and Archangel Michael and ask them questions. And I have opened the chat room. So it's possible for people to ask us questions. Now, I'd like to wait until the end, of course, to ask a question. And if there's someone here who'd like to, I forgot to ask, who would like to monitor a little bit and tell us if Marcia is on the line, perhaps she could log in. I don't know if all of you listen on the computer, but if you do, people are saying welcome to one another and hello. It's really fun to have the chat room open so everybody can say hello to each other. And I see Carmen is here. Carmen, perhaps you would like to gather questions. And if you see a couple of questions that would be really, he's saying, sure. This is so fun. It's like we're texting back and forth. If you find a question that someone asks along the way that hasn't been already answered in the things that we're talking about, give us a little note, maybe rephrase it or reduce it so it's something that everyone can relate to. That would be a big help. Thanks, Cameron. So, enough about me. Now, about you, Christine. Now, I have to warn you. We've practiced a lot for this show. In fact, our life is practice for this show because at least three times a day, Christine will say make some matter of fact statement, and the wheels in my mind like grind to a halt, and I go, would you please rephrase that, or give me a picture to go with that, or explain what I don't get it. So I've been in class here for a long time. Learning to expand and grasp what Christine will tell us. So don't get impatient if you don't understand it the first time around. We'll cover everything three times. So, and you can always go back and listen again. So we don't want anyone to be frustrated. We want everyone to just sit back and enjoy this. And it doesn't matter if you understand it or not. Believe me. Christine tells a story about the master that she worked with. And she once said she'd be driving down the road a year later and start to laugh at a joke that he told her a year ago. So it might have that, you might have that response, and that's fine. It's learning. All right, so where will we start? Sananda told a story about Christine last time that it bears repeating. I was so amused when Christine told me the story last week. When she was two, she used to go to a babysitter, and the babysitter would let her watch TV. And just at the time that her mother would come and pick her up, Star Trek had just started, and she would have a meltdown, tantrum, crying, carrying on, and her mother never got that it was that she didn't want to leave Star Trek. She kept thinking, oh, you're overtired. Let me get you a snack. We'll be home soon. You must miss the dog. Let me help you. And she couldn't seem to get across to her mother that whenever she saw Star Trek, she felt at home. It reassured her and made her feel happy. So she's a Trekkie, you might say. Has been since she was two.
And before that,
right. So the reason Christine can tell us these things and sees things very differently than most of us is because she came here with very little veil. Now, not no veil, but very little. So she is constantly in touch. She always knew there is a mother and father and couldn't believe that everybody else didn't know that, too. It seemed so obvious to her. So most of her life has been trying to descend enough so that she could manage in this dimension. So that's what we're here for. Meg and I are going to help. And whenever she's going to just, she and Michael are going to talk. And as they're talking, we're going to, like, take notes or ask questions or look at your questions and we'll get it. We'll work it through. So we'll have her define things if need be. So let's take it away, okay? Christine and Michael, and I think Christine will just decide who's talking, whether it's Christine or Michael. She might tell you, she might not. Here you go, Christine.
Thanks, Catherine. Hi, everybody. Yes, I've been in training, too, because in previous calls, often you all have heard, when I come on a call, I get nervous. And I'm not nervous because I'm channeling, and I'm not nervous because of the content or the beautiful information or the wonderful family above, the beautiful masters and angels, and none of that is what makes me nervous. It's was getting over the threshold to be able to speak and make easy sense. And so Catherine was gracious to say she's been in training, but the training, believe me, has gone both ways, because she has worked with me a lot to help me be able to better express. And today is easier as well because, of course, Michael is here. And this all was his idea. So he'll pop in here and there, and I'll let you know I don't experience it always so distinctly as Michael is speaking sometimes, or I am. We're both speaking. But I will tell you, well, see, there you go. There's a good example. I'm already headed into the weeds. Let's do this. See, in the way that I live in my inner life, which is very flexible and very mobile as far as dimensions go, reality is very flexible. And I slide across things. I don't stop and do, stop and do, stop and do. I kind of do and slide and surf. Now, I'm not saying this is what you'll do. I'm just going to tell you when I take a breath sometimes to try to describe something more succinctly. What's going on inside of me is I am taking my vast, wide inner world, which I, for a long time, kept as a so-called secret. And I'm wanting so much to share it with you, but in a way that's meaningful for both of us. And that's where Michael comes in, and that's where Catherine comes in, and Meg. So, excited, and away we go. Meg, do you want to start with any questions?
Yes, I'm good. There's noise around where I am, so I'm going to mute on and off so you don't hear any interference.
Oh, sure.
But yes. So, of course, I want to hear more about your childhood because that just fascinates me. So if Michael has any fun tales to tell or you have a memory. It's very interesting. So if anything pops in that would be relevant for us, that would be fun. And then also, I used to think, and maybe other people have as well, that a veil, this veil of, they call it the veil of forgetfulness sometimes, and that's not really apropos, but sometimes they've used that. And so when I hear that somebody has a thin veil, sometimes I think, oh, you must know everything. And I'm not necessarily thinking that's correct. So maybe you can tell people.
Since you know me well.
Maybe you can.
You know that's.
Yeah, well.
Be correct.
You know, and, and so maybe you can share with people about what it means when it's appropriate in your discussion, what that means as far as, you know, sometimes we think there's this other world that is in the know, like the company of heaven is in the know and we're not, and that's just not true. So maybe you can elaborate about what that means in your own, you know, in your own words about that question, and I think that will help a lot of people because, you know, I think when people start, their veil starts to thin, I want them to be able to also experience as they are already maybe some of what you're experiencing. You can be a couple of steps ahead of us to let us know what might be coming.
Great. Good ones to start with, Meg. I'm going to speak a little bit about what it meant to be a little bitty child grid worker and how that looked. And then Michael's going to speak some about the veil. So
right.
when I was little, I could say things like I would get excited and I would have a, maybe I would wake up from night work or something and I would say, wow, they're building the crystalline grid. But usually, based on the reaction I got, and already explaining the issue I have sometimes explaining things, I would just more keep those experiences inside. But this is how I grew up from being really tiny and my understanding as a child of the grid. Okay, so this is what it meant to go on the grid and do grid work as a little kid for me. So I would just think maybe I would be coming home from school and I would be thinking about the day and I would be thinking about an answer I got wrong at school and then how the teacher didn't help me and then how that made me mad. So I would just rethink about that experience of my day and then I would begin. And this is me going onto the grid from the perspective I have now. I understand this is what I was doing then. So I would first say, well, because I didn't feel good inside. So I would say, well, Mother and Father, please just help me feel better. I want to be loving, and I feel so bad. I'm mad. Please help me. And then I would say, well, you know, maybe the teacher tried. Okay, well, Mother and Father, please bless all teachers. Okay, well, then the teacher has brown hair. Mother and Father, please bless all ladies with brown hair. Okay, good. Well, now, oh, men have brown hair too. Well, Mother and Father, please today bless everyone with hair. So... And this was constant in my life. This was my inner, not just dialogue, it was very real to me. And in the beginning, it would just be my earnest wishes and my heart just swelling, just wanting to make it all better. Oh yes, I would go on and on. All the children who got in trouble in school today, and all the children who got mad because they got in trouble at school today. Please teach us patience. And I mean, I would go on and on, and my whole life. Then I would get home for dinner, and Dad would come home, and he'd give me a big hug, and I'd still be going. So I would just add experience on top of experience, any and everything I could think of. Mother and Father, bless us. The angels, I would send angels constantly. It was natural and normal. And honestly, I thought everybody was doing it all the time. I thought we were all walking around like this in this place because, after all, I was. So it's important for all of us to remember, right? Our inner world may have nothing to do with what anyone else is experiencing.
I'm going to interrupt for a second.
It happens all day long. She's right. I say, oh, our friend, the car just broke down. And she said, I'm sending a team of angels. I'm going to be late for my appointment. I'm sending a team of angels to get everybody smooth and ready for your appointment. That's how it goes.
Yep. So you can see. Now, this is, I would say, as natural as breathing to me. But I actually have to work at my breath more sometimes than I have to do this. This is just natural, inherent. It is what is so to me. I never doubt that the angels are not responding. I know to the core of me every single time the angels are responding. And my heart's wish is that it always be for the greatest good. Like, I came in knowing that phrase. It wasn't something I learned along the way. It is from a higher dimension. So, and that's one way my veil is thin. And it just continued to grow from there. And as the years went on and I kept doing those simple things all day and night, in my sleep, in my dreams, in my waking dream, being awake in the day, it just continued to grow and bring that energy in more into my life and through me. And then as I grew, I began to see more. And we'll talk about seeing in a moment. Everyone can see. Everyone can do all of this. This isn't special. It sounds so special when one of us exposes our inner gifts, because it's kind of like a long, cool drink in the desert for what we've lived through, being in this very intense and often troubled lower dimension. But I want to remind us all throughout, this is who we all are. Now, it doesn't mean you'll experience it in the same way as me. It just means it's actually not special. What's special is to come and reduce ourselves to these other experiences. And to become masters of reduction, of dissension. That's amazing. And not everyone is a master of that. So I feel Michael coming in, and he wants to talk about the veil. So I'll take a breath and joyfully, gratefully welcome Archangel Michael.
Hi, Michael.
Welcome,
Hi,
Michael.
Catherine. Hi, Meg. Hi, all of you. Welcome, welcome. Well, we have quite the setup today, because as Christine is speaking, as Catherine and Meg are speaking, already Christine has asked, as she always does, that each of you, she sends out, even beyond your own team, she sends out teams of special angels for each call. And today she requested that the archangels especially emanate expansiveness in a gentle and meaningful way to each and every one of you, so that you would have a feeling of what it is to be multidimensional, what it is to easily reside in the peace of your heart. You would have a moment where you would know we are present. So they're beyond your own medical teams right now and beyond your own vast teams. We are all working together to fulfill this request. And yes, your angelic requests, done in love and for the greatest good, are always fulfilled. Always. Now, about your veil, let me explain it like this. When you are at the table, designing your life plan. We bring in all kinds of things. You get to choose and make many, many choices. What kind of family you're going to be in, what kind of lessons you're going to learn, what kind of hardships you'd like to understand, grow through, what kind of lessons you are ready to release from your past incarnations. The list is seemingly endless. Now, this should come immediately as a great comfort to you because you can let go that you are ever truly in danger. Sure, there are moments where if you touch a hot stove, your finger will get burned. But truly and profoundly and ultimately, you are never in danger. And you had a hand in planning the whole thing. And there is tremendous grace and flexibility built into your plan so that with your own creative powers, at any moment, you can make a new decision, create a new momentum, and take things in another direction. So, how does your veil fit in? It is another one of the items on the list that, according to all the things you want to learn, experience, and the mission that you are carrying forth to do, how your veil is configured plays into that. So, if you are going to go into a very dense situation where it would serve you to have a thicker veil so that you could more genuinely experience the full range of what it is to be in a lower dimension and not only have that experience but perform a mission you've designed as well, then a thick veil is as much as a gift and as much as a challenge as a thin veil. There is no one that is better than the other. They are all exquisitely designed by you, your team, and signed off on by Mother and Father. So I hope this already gives you a better perspective. There are places where each and every one of you have thinner spots in your veil. And there are some missions that require, like Christine's, a very thin veil in most areas. And there are some missions that require an extremely dense veil. All are cherished and seen as marvelous. To descend is very respected. It is not easy, always. We know. Your veil is not something to overcome. It is something you designed for your very own journey. And at this time, everyone's is thinning tremendously. And that's why I requested the topic of today's discussion, so that not only could you hear a different experience of what a thin veil is like, but what a multidimensional life on this planet right now might be like, but that you would have the emanations and the help, the extra boost to, as Meg said, understand when you might be experiencing it and how you can embrace it. So I'm here with you. I think we're going to throw the ball to Catherine and see if she's got any questions.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yes. You just brought up more questions, Michael. All right. We're going to need for you to weave this for us. What does having a thin veil have to do with the grid? And what is the grid? Can you begin with that and give us a really, expansive enough so we can everybody can get something to tell us what is the grid and
how does it work? Okay, here we go.
Okay, it is Michael, and I'm actually going to give the talking stick to Christine. I want her first to explain what these things are to her. So before we start with a grid, I'll start, and Catherine, you can pick up on this line of questioning. Mm-hmm. I will say to Christine, what to you, what is a frequency? Okay, thanks, Michael. It's okay. I'm laughing because little Che is helping me. He's sitting on my lap. Okay, that's a good question to start with. Thank you, Michael. Okay, to me, a frequency, a frequency is, I'm going to start with even something a little bit more direct. I'm going to start with what a word is to me. A word, to me, is an address in reality. It is the little package that is meaning, that is transmission, that is frequency. So that is why the masters, to me, when they would always teach, well, our words are so important, and our words create or destroy. I understood deeply inside of me, because I see and hear and feel a word, and it is always all those things to me. Now, that helps then take the next step to what is a frequency. A frequency is a transmission of energy that carries content and intent. So when that's why when we've been talking about the frequency project, and the frequencies are difficult and raise your frequency and all these things. I actually don't have bad feelings about so-called bad frequencies. I see this as a janitorial job. We're cleaning up frequencies that don't serve our current purpose, which is to ascend. Now, we don't do that by attacking or throwing bleach on those so-called bad frequencies. We focus on the good frequencies, especially in the midst of when the so-called bad ones are letting loose. So I hope that is that good so far, guys?
That was great.
Okay. Okay, Catherine, next question. I think there's a line of these.
Work this, if you can, up to helping us see what the grid is and how frequencies make up the grid. Did I get that right?
Yes.
Okay.
Okay. So now we've got what in my world is a word. In my world, what is a frequency? Okay. The grid. Let's talk about the Christed grid. What the heck? When they say the Christed crystalline grid of light and love, it's quite a mouthful.
How long has it been there? Where did it go?
But to me, it is, I remember years and years ago, suddenly I felt so many angels and beings were building it, and I didn't even know what this meant, because I didn't have the cognitive thought, we've had an old grid, and now we're going to get a new grid. I just, in my relaxed, open self, when I'm joyful and peaceful within, I just suddenly perceived that, indeed, for quite a while, we had been, all of us, building a new grid. And I could see that beautiful new grid, and I could see the matrix. So we're going to get to what are all those. Let's start with the crystalline Christed grid that is now the grid of Earth, that is now the grid that is our sponsor, our life, our light. Now, this is how it appears to me. This is a very flexible topic. How your inner knowing of the grid may or may not be, or what is so, is in no way contrary to what I'm about to say. All right. For me, the lines of the grid, let's start simple. Let's call the grid a grid as in it's an actual grid. Sometimes I see it as a grid of squares. Sometimes I perceive it as the flower of life covering Earth. I see the grid lines go from the core of Earth out through the Earth itself into space infinitely, interacting with all else that is and is yet to be and is not.
Uh-oh.
Catherine's, I think, holding up the yield sign, the caution sign. Okay. What are the grid lines? What are they made out of? They are made out of light. They are the substance of Mother and Father God. They are pure love, pure light, pure creative force, energy. So they are pristine in their exquisite existence. To me, they feel like such a huge and awesome gift. I am so touched every time I perceive the what we could call the lines of the grid. Now, yes.
How is it built and what is it made of?
So the lines are made of Mother and Father's love light. It's pure, creative, almost impetus. It's, okay, now let's go to a space between the grid lines. That is zero energy. That is dark matter. Not dark as in dark versus light or evil versus good. Meaning it is what all creation arises from. It is the stillness that is pure potential. It is the knowing that is all. Now, what I'm telling you is actual. It's not just philosophical. It's actual. So you have these grid lines, and then you have that potential that is between the grid lines. Now, I can perceive the grid as massive grid lines far apart in many shapes, like I said, big squares, the flower of life, mandalas, creative directions, directives, many things. None of them are wrong or overriding, and none of them are right or leading. I'm just trying to get across to you the flexibility that is the grid. It is inherently creative potential and creation all at once. It is the stuff we grab onto, even not knowing it, to be able to produce this experience on surface Earth. And it ranges from that and our ability to do that, whether we're aware of it or not, all the way to, there aren't just fifth-dimensional beings living in inner Earth. There's eighth-dimensional beings living in inner Earth, and there's 12th-dimensional society in inner Earth. So all the way, the grid encompasses all of what they use for experience, life, existence, interaction in the domain that they occupy in reference to Earth. And the grid is used by all of us and serves all of us. And it is made of Mother and Father substance, of supreme creator, supreme, beyond our knowing, creator. And so it is consciousness. As well, it is conscious and it is consciousness. Now, trust me. I, too, don't know what all this fully... I am not sitting here sharing this with you and fully comprehending it in any analytical or presentable way other than words that are not only coming through me, but Mother's here. She is sending it out for us all as a gift as well. So the first thing I do is I let go of needing to perceive that I know enough. It's enough just to realize that this gift is here for all of us, and whether we have understood it or not, we're all using it, participating with it, being blessed by it, having experience from it. This is, now you can maybe better understand some things like why there is love and there is the absence of love. We may have an experience that we, with our thoughts, our words, our frequencies, we create. But everything is created off of this grid that is made of Mother and Father God. So it cannot be outside of love. When we learn better, when we've had the experience, when we perceive something more, we shift, we expand, and whatever was painful or seemingly so-called dark or harmful or scary or fearful, it is already gone because it never was, because the very substance of the Christed grid we create from is love, and it cannot be anything else. Now, maybe you can already guess what the matrix was then. It was a kind of stepped-down grid where we could still, we still, of course, needed a grid to create our experiences from, to create our shared and individual events. But on the Christed grid, with the direction we're all going now, it is getting harder and harder to believe in fear. It is getting harder and harder to believe evil is ultimate. Oh, Catherine's going to help out here. Here we go.
You once told me about the grid being points of light and expressions of something. So I think it'll help if you describe how the essence of the grid is created by our feelings, our thoughts. I think that's, we're always talking about how it's important what you think and what you feel because you create with it. Can you connect that to the grid and how it works and what it is?
Yes.
Okay.
Thanks, Catherine. I'll do my best. So Michael's laughing a lot right now because he's saying, so I love the grid very much. I've worked on it, as it, my whole life. And so I'm very expansive right now. And really, there's no other way I can speak to you without being at beyond the edge of my own expansion. Otherwise, I would be talking to you from the opposite of expanding. I would be reducing to speak to you. So to be genuine, I must expand, but I'm expanding past my own usual expansion. So it's hard to talk. This is a dilemma Catherine lives with. Okay. Imagine let's go back to this simple example of squares. And now notice in each corner, say there is a dot. Those dots are where the grid lines intersect. They also can be looked at as points where we all have mutual agreement. It can be something as simple as the earth is round. It can be life is hard. It can be a collection of agreements. Now, when I also perceive the grid, there are many, many times where I just perceive fields of the dots. And this is very flexible and useful because it shows me often how we create. For example, let's say you want to have more money. And you actually want more money for your own life because you want the freedom. Oh, this is a really good one. And then let's say you have a big heart. We all do. No matter our wounds, we all have a big heart. So you also want it for your family. And even you would be happy if everyone didn't have to live so meagerly and so choked by money all the time. All right. So now imagine we're going to go to the grid dot that has to do with money. Now, this is our collective beliefs about money. And as we get closer and closer to that grid dot, we see, oh my goodness, it's made up of a whole bunch of other dots. Now, the brighter a dot is the more you yourself have belief or you've invested your life force and energy and belief and focus and knowing and into that dot. It's an idea. It's a concept. It's how we build reality. So there are all kinds of dots inside that money dot. For example, there's the dot of all those little dots of money is evil and all those things we were programmed with so that we could experience this crazy money is power, all the things that we could be programmed with so we could experience this debt slavery of money situation. Then there's all the other beliefs. Money is freedom. Money is energy. Money is light. Money is not needed. So wherever there are the most, like imagine all those little dots, the more people believe on earth are invested in one of the dots, one of the beliefs, one of the thoughts, the brighter it burns, the more like force it seems to have because we're imbuing it with our beliefs, our focus. And also remember, the more we ourselves believe in it can make it burn brightly in our own mind and configuration as well. Now, I am living in a situation, let's say you don't have much money, but then you hear about this, the St. Germain's prosperity packages and the new coming days and the RV and the GCR. Now, you and all the others that hear about it are going to pull the dots into this new experience called the RV, the revaluation of currencies, the prosperity packages of financial funds that are to help begin to set Earth free, the global currency reset. Okay. And everyone that is now participating is magnetizing those dots into a new creation. It's really connect the dots. So if you have a lot of beliefs that if you think have just held you down, well, but through the process of becoming to understand and believe in the prosperity funds, you've released those, and you're really now excited and understanding that we are on the verge of freedom for everyone. You have that some of those dots are now dimmer, and now you look up and look around, and there's a whole bunch of others doing the exact same thing. So the dots that now form on the literally this beautiful eve of the release of prosperity, financial prosperity on earth, leading to so much more. There is a configuration of light that is its own grid, that is its own experience. But you see, we went into the Christed grid to find and to one dot to find all those dots and so on. So it's a simple way to explain how we grab them individually and we make up the grid that is our body, the grid that is our beliefs, the grid of each and every belief. If you go and pull those dots and connect them, They form the experience that you have chosen to have and are choosing to have moment to moment. And why it is so powerful that we are creators is our ability to shift from those old beliefs that we're part of. And you can see how a whole denser matrix formed by our collective beliefs as we descended. We invested our very life force into the dots that formed a much denser, heavier grid.
And that was the matrix.
Mm-hmm. And the matrix, we empowered it to take over, meaning we took this experience so far that it became in a spiral of intensity and momentum that would have continued had this not all been very well planned from the beginning. And where we've stopped it, we now have changed the momentum. And that is why the Christed grid now appears before our eyes, sparkling and new.
Since how long?
Well, you can see from my story, it's always been there. Yet, it's not there if it's not what we have access to in the experience where our attention is.
The lights are on the Christmas tree, but they're not plugged in.
Better way. And that's a good one because they're dots. Okay, everybody with me? Catherine, Meg, you got anything to ask or say about that?
Someone on the chat room just said, indeed, wow.
Okay, good. Way to hang in, guys. Yes, it's beautiful. When we can look at it from this perspective, it's awesome what we're doing in every second together. Right now there is a beautiful grid of all of us lit up all over the world. Now, this is my perspective. Mm-hmm. Hang on to your hat. Mm-hmm. So when I sit here and I'm speaking with you, I am seeing and feeling your light, and everyone that will ever not only listen to this, but that the waves that go out and will be just from the emanation of love, from the dots we are joining right now, all of us together, it impacts the whole planet tremendously. So when I speak with you, it's another reason I get nervous to speak, because I always see all of you. Which ultimately is everyone, which ultimately is one, so it's okay. I just need to laugh more and calm down. Okay, Meg, how are you doing over there?
Yeah, good. I'm just literally soaking it up. And as I was, I'm outside listening to on the call, and as I spoke, a whole grid was formed by the clouds above me with lines and squares. And
yep.
Right as you were talking, I could see the lights and intersecting. It was really visual. So we're getting a lot of help, guys, with this, literally and figuratively with this grid. Okay, so I have a question. So
wait, first, Meg, I can
example.
Completely, Michael is confirming that for you. Yes.
Oh.
Yes. Yes.
Really fun. So very
part of
fun.
Expansion.
So.
Yes. Part of expansion is not dismissing those things that are appearing like that. It's not dismissing them. It's allowing, wow, could that be really part of this? And allowing it just to be. And yes, indeed it is. And then that becomes an entire way of being. Meg, you are sharing with us a multidimensional and a higher dimensional experience. Just because you're relaxed and open and like just letting this all in. And that's the experience you report back. That is amazing.
Hmm. Janie Laurel says, Christine, I've worked with the grid for years, off and on, and this is the best description I've ever heard.
Oh,
thank you. Okay. Keep going, Christine.
Thanks, love. Thanks. I can feel my other grid workers out there, which, by the way, any and everyone can work on the grid. I'll give you a little funny thing about time. So often on the ships or in the higher dimensions, when they're going to come here, whether they're just in any of the, it's way more ways than we think they can come here. But let's just leave that for another talk. But when they do, here's what they say. The phrase most often used is they're going to come into time. I'm going to drop into time. Okay, so then when I say, now you can understand when we grid workers say we're going to go onto the grid, I'm not going anywhere. I'm allowing myself to expand, to include whatever is needed to be included in that moment.
What do you work on when you're on the grid?
Okay, that's a really good one. Often these days when I go, because light workers are really working hard right now, period. Everyone in their own assignments, whether they're aware of what their assignment is or not. And just like Michael said, your configuration of your veil, it includes whether you chose to be aware. You thought you could get more done if you didn't know what your mission was. And there's a lot of truth to that. And it's very respected. It's not just because somebody knows specifically what they decided their mission to be that they have more awareness mm-hmm. or more light. That is not true. Many brilliant light workers, completely devoted, could not say two words about what they think their mission is, and they are performing it stupendously. Okay, so I just wanted to clear that up. So when I go on the grid, and it'll be fun to get reports from others that maybe we can invite on or share at a later time. It's just like, imagine from the story when I was a child. So let's go on right now, all of us together. That's the best way to do it. So we're already quite expanded from all the help we're getting from our beautiful angelic teams and our masters that are gathered around all of us. Thank you all for mothers here, fathers here, of course. I never speak without asking them to guide every word so that it be love and in the highest good of all. So first I just alight my pillar of light, which Meg did for us. Always connecting with the earth, because I'm on earth right now. And so this reality is so important. And then opening and reaching to mother and father. And I allow with myself, just with humor or breath, or just, I just relax. And then I expand, knowing that my pillar of light, as Meg said, is always, has an integrity to it. I'm not merging my pillar with somebody or something else. It's my ascension pillar. It's my pillar of light for being safe and productive and alive in this dimension and for this special mission of ascension that we are all on. Okay, so we're going to go on the grid, and it's just a matter of allowing, like opening yourself. I open and I see, well, I may feel a little nudge, because I've been doing this a long time. Or it can be as simple as, maybe I've been up since 2 a.m., so I was really sick at about 5 a.m. And I get a little imbalanced if I'm sick. I'm still doing a lot of transmuting work, and I got a little sick. So I got a little upset. Immediately, I catch it. I notice it. And then I went on the grid because I wanted to go immediately back to love and gentleness and not spiral into I'm sick so I'm upset. So right now, wow, okay, I'll tell you what I see. There are a lot of angels welcoming everyone to the grid through our hearts, through our consciousness. And there's just a welcoming committee, and there's songs. And I look around, and this moment, I'm not in the density of Earth so much with the grid. I'm more out, and there's in space, there's so many ships, and Ashtar's having them blink at us. And it's such a happy moment. So the first thing that comes to me, and Michael's here, so we're going to do it together just like we always do. So first, I'm so happy to see him. And that always just, I call in my higher self, my twin flame, any masters that my heart's yearning for, always Sananda. and I'll often call all the higher selves from Earth. So we're going to do that together right now. And what we're getting to is Michael and I are going to do some grid work all together with all of us about this peace, focus, and meditation. And already, oh, I have chills and chills, and I'm sweating. And the energy's just brilliant. Like, I see the grid right now in the flower of life around the Earth. And again, it's going from the crystal core through the flower of life that covers the entire globe, and the lighted grid lines go into forever, into infinity. And I just see everyone here. I do see our beautiful Pope, who, yes, now is a light worker and has been working quite hard to clean things up over there in the Vatican. Now, I'm speaking to you exactly as I speak to them when I'm on the grid. So I'm going to keep it as how I naturally do it. And I see the angels, and I ask, oh, but I don't even have to ask this time. The angel chorus is here. And they are humming beautiful sounds that will uplift us and help us experience this and focus on the moment. But it's very melodic. It's not like a monk hum. It's like a melody, layered in a melody. Like they're showing us the layers of things through their beautiful, special song. And I ask in all the archangels, they're already here. I ask in the masters, thank you. I ask all the fifth dimensional and higher beings that are surrounding Earth in their ships, and I ask them to join with our consciousness, please. I ask the higher self of every man, woman, and child on Earth who would like to participate in this on whatever dimension they can perceive and would like to participate, to please join us. And you can see the whole grid just fills with beautiful, beautiful, our family. We are a family, all of us. We are the family of Earth, among many other things. And I see our Dalai Lama. There's just so many masters that are living on Earth as well, holding such bright light. The light workers, the star seeds. Oh, it's so beautiful. Everyone is here. So I'm going to give it over to Michael so he can lead from here. I'm going to take a deep breath and step back so Michael can speak with you. Catherine, why don't you say what you're seeing?
Oh, okay.
Oh, as Christine was describing it, I was just seeing, feeling in my heart more. I usually feel things first in my heart. And I was just feeling this bright energy increasing and increasing, and I felt like I was just being lifted up with it. It got stronger and stronger as she described, as she named groups of angels and groups of light workers, and everybody's here, and I just felt it increasing and increasing. And I can now see the grid. I didn't see it before until you really described it. It's kind of lines, but they're in many dimensions, so they're not. It's not a line. It's a.
They're lines. They're conscious.
Yeah. But it's not a line. It's a whole segment. Like the globe is not a circle. It's a, well, we call it three-dimensional, but it's really many-dimensional, right? So far I'm seeing the grid three-dimensionally. I can see it has space and expanse and vitality, and it's a being. And it has density, sort of.
Substance,
that's the word. So thank you, Christine. It's glittering and it's exciting, and I'm feeling the excitement with everyone else. I feel so connected to everyone else who's here. And I'm beginning to get what Christine meant when she says the people who are listening now and the people who will listen. And the people who will listen with them, and so on. So thank you, Christine. That's what I've got so far.
Oh, it's Michael. Thank you, Catherine. All right. here we all are. Now, from this perspective, it is easy to be together, isn't it? And it's easy to look down on our beloved earth with such tenderness and love. And it just, our hearts are full as well. To have these moments of connection with you, of course with you all, but with you, each of you, truly you, means so much to us. It brings us to tears. That you would do this, that you would come here, that you would expand so much on surface earth as to perceive this moment where we are all actually together. It is as moving and touching and meaningful for us. I often joke with Christine and Catherine, imagine, because they speak to us constantly, but we laugh and we say back, yes, but imagine there were thousands of years and nobody said anything. Just imagine how excited we are to be here with you. You can feel it, can't you? And yes, we have all, every ship has meditators. Now, these are the ones that focus love and light and peace and ascension and help. Focus around the clock, so to speak, inside and outside of time, at Earth, at you, to uplift you so you can accomplish this mighty, mighty mission. Remember, you are our representatives there. You are the ones that were strong enough, brave enough to go for this. We honor you, admire you, and we are here with you. Now, I've had a new idea. Well, this is how Christine and I often collaborate. I showed her a picture, and she said, oh, and we take it bigger, bigger, how we want to do it. And we're both very dramatic. So we have a lot of fun, always, on the grid work. We need a new word for that, don't we? Because really, for us, it's grid play. But it has an importance to it because it is Christine fulfilling her mission, as all the grid workers do, to bring their contribution of healing and restoration. And most grid workers are also primary transmuters, meaning they're not just anchoring the brilliant light coming in. They're also transmuting the heavy energies to be released. So, our idea for this moment is first, let's focus on the team that, yes, has crossed into, let's say this, there is a point of focus in ISIS-occupied Syria. And let's all look, and I mean all of us, the higher selves, you all on the call, and this event is happening inside and outside of time. So if you listen to the call later, it is just as fresh and vital and important for you to join as it is as though you were near the denser layers of Earth and in time. Everyone on the ships, many are continuing their duties because they're multidimensional and they are giving us tremendous loving focus as well. All the angelics, the ascended masters, mother and father, and we're going to shine our love. And the dream and the fulfillment of peace on earth at the focal point of this team, where it will evenly and gently disperse out across in all directions, encircling Earth. Earth's own beautiful consciousness is rising up to meet and greet us and join in the expansion and in the realization of peace. Now, you have been learning about the grid. What you have been exposed to today is a tremendous amount of multidimensional information and truth. So everyone get near a grid line. And with all your heart, first you're going to grab, like, a ball of light out of the grid line. And you're going to just hold it in front of your heart. Put all your wishes for peace on earth, true peace for every being, every molecule returned, restored to the light, healed, peace, joy, whatever peace is to you, and imbue this light ball with your dream and the realization that your dream is fulfilled, whatever peace is. Allow it to pour from your heart into this light ball. We're all doing it, all of us, the masters, the angels. Now, when you're ready, take your light ball, and we're going to throw them at Earth. See them. 1, 2, 3.
Peace ball.
And see them hit and spread. Yes, Christine is laughing. No, she wants me to say, no, we've never done this before. But it's always new. What we do, there's rarely a pattern. Often, the way she did work on the grid as a child was familiar to her. So she'll climb onto the grid through her prayers and wishes for herself and this world to be healed and free and at peace and in joy and restored to love. But from there, anything can and does happen. And you are welcome, all of you now, to come anytime. See the light you're throwing, spreading and spreading. Each ball hitting and splashing and encircling the entire earth. And we will maintain this vigil from our side as well and with the higher selves. So over the next 24 hours, as you are nudged or feel the call, join us again in this focus of peace on earth. This is a very powerful movement. I'll give Catherine the talking stick. Thank you all.
Okay. Wow, that was fun. And Sananda's here. He's helping to toss those light balls. This is a new game. Never played this one before. It's fun. All right. I hope things are a little clearer to those who are listening. We have the advantage of the chat room now. I know everyone probably has questions, but do what I'm doing right now. I'm going to take a big breath and try to expand my questions to encompass everything that we want to feel and know and understand, and I use that word loosely, together. Because we have to understand this together. We have to grasp it. We have to do it. We have to experience it in order to ascend. We have to do this all together. So we're starting. This is a really good start for having an image, some explanations, some descriptions that will guide us to do this more and to do it on our own. I get many emails a week that say, Catherine, would you please tell mother and father about this incident with my grandson who needs prayers and help? And I always write back and say, well, I don't need to tell them. They already know. And why don't you talk with them? So it's not that I'm handing off the ball because I don't want to do it. It's that anytime you speak as Michael has been trying to get us to understand. They are always listening. It's just that we never talked to them before, not in a conversational way, which is the way they really communicate, just like we do. It's prayer. Yeah, prayer is really just talking with your guides, your helpers, your favorite master or archangel, mother and father, your own higher self. It's just talking with them. Tell them how you feel. Tell them what you see. Tell them, well, I started this when I started working, doing the spiritual work. I started by saying, please, mother and father, allow me to be of service. Show me what I need to do to be of service. And then every day I would say that to them. Please guide me so that I can be of service. I don't know where I should begin. I don't even really know what that means, but just guide me. I always had pretty good intuition, and then I learned to really trust it. And as soon as I said that, things just exploded in my life. Everywhere I turned, I saw opportunities. Every morning when I awoke, something dropped in my lap. So all I had to say was, Mother and Father, please show me how to be of service. Please guide me. So use my energies, use what I know, use what I'm good at, so that I can be of service. And they started tailoring what I could do. And now here we are doing a Blog Talk Radio show, which in the beginning I never thought I would be doing something like this. Writing channeled messages and publishing them would never have occurred to me. So just ask and talk to them about it. And you will begin to hear them. You won't necessarily hear words and paragraphs, but you'll feel things. You'll feel a nudge or a little flicker of energy or a little sweet feeling.
It'll grow into a snowfall.
Oh, we have a great story from yesterday. Christine had been sick, and she was saying, oh, I love looking out the window, but, oh, I miss snow.
And the Company of Heaven hasn't been talking to me.
Oh, right. Go.
Right, I'll tell the first part. Yeah, so I've been sick, and then and part of it is just to be peaceful through all the conditions that I'm experiencing, and most of the time I am, and then sometimes I get upset or feel a little sorry for myself or get feisty. And I was like, and during this whole period where we've been on these different projects, and especially in about the last month, the Company of Heaven hasn't been speaking to me directly in the same way that I easily hear them, say now when I'm channeling. Okay, so they do speak to me in a kind of Company of Heaven voice, I call it, and they're super quick, and I always request from the Company of Heaven that they give me a very loving, high-dimensional feeling that I can understand and make sure it's always them. So they always do. I speak to Michael all the time, but he hasn't been speaking back. Part of my experience has been to just go through this with faith and constancy. So I just finally yesterday morning, I'd been really sick and I was sad about it, and I kind of said, you know, Michael, I know you're always there, and I know all of you are, and Sananda, I love you, but Michael, I'm just really missing you, and can you just let me know I'm on the right track? I didn't jump off the wrong track, and I'm doing something that I think I'm doing, but I'm not doing it. So having a thin veil does not mean you know what's up all the time, okay? It just means you know how to get to the peace in your heart in the midst of the hardest things. Well, then a few minutes later, I was like, oh, I've really been missing the snow this winter. It's not snowing at all here. And I looked at the weather report, And no way. It's going to be way too warm for snow, and maybe a slight rain in the evening. And this was morning. 0% chance of precipitation. But sure enough, 15 minutes later, it starts snowing out of nowhere. And it snowed for 30 minutes. And I was so excited. And I just felt, my heart felt so warm. And I just said, oh, that's Michael. You made it snow. And that's like with Meg's story. I could have closed it down based on the lower dimensional experiences, but in my heart of hearts, I already knew. So I expanded open to the possibility. I ran upstairs and told Catherine, look, she goes, yeah, how's it snowing? And then she got a funny message too. Oh, no, I said it's too warm for snow. And then I said, oh, well, every snowflake has an angel blowing on it to keep it cool. It can make it to the ground.
They said that's not far off.
Yeah, and they said that's not far off. So miracles do happen.
We're all that loved.
Yes, and we're all that loved. So when you are on a mission, which you all are, acknowledge it. Say, Mother and Father, I'm working hard here. I want to be of service. Give me a little help or a little nudge so I can feel your presence even more strongly. And they will. They will help you with this. So you don't have to be asking somebody else to tell Mother and Father something or wishing that you could make contact. You are already in contact. You're just not quite acknowledging it deeply enough to really experience it. But you are. Michael's back. Here he is.
Yes, I wanted to come back and say, from me, from all of us, there is not going to be a large catastrophe, any kind, that causes, from the lessons you have today, you will understand this much more deeply from the experience you've had today, that causes...
Let me ask the question that everyone is saying. What about Nibiru? Is it going to crash into the earth? Are we all going to be wiped out? Everybody says it's going to happen.
There's the Nibiru's up, the market crash is a hot topic right now. This is Michael. Mm-hmm. And I want to tell you, absolutely, this is a path of ascension. There is not going to be allowed a catastrophe that causes Earth to plunge into descent. Mother and Father have given their word. We are really amazed at how things are going. It is, the tide is not turning anymore. The tide has fully turned. You don't even have to participate. The matrix is not the grid of Earth. Any belief you have that it is you grabbing the dots and trying to reconfigure them because it's a known experience to you. The moment you're able to let that go, you will fully live from the highest vibration accessible from this beautiful grid. The grid that you are will more and more tune to the crystalline grid, and the crystalline grid will tune to you. Nibiru, whatever happens, and the events coming, is for the ascension of all. There is no reason to be afraid. There are such events of amazing wonder, excitement, true glory, friendship. We will speak more of these events. We have spoken of them often here. They are at your doorstep. Behind the scenes, they are unfolding now, and you will see them fully bloom. So soon. You're seeing, some of you are seeing them bloom now. There is no need to worry ever. And when you have a worry, bring it to us. Talk about it. We may reflect back that, oh, it's okay. You can let go of that belief configuration. You can stop sponsoring those dots. And instead, just know in your heart the goodness that is from here on out, and that all events will be for the ascension of all.
Okay, Michael, we have a question that I think is on a number of people's minds. What's happening to the cabal, and how come it seems like they're still in charge, and how come they haven't just been kicked out? And how, if you can give us some explanation about how that's rolling.
Yes, I would like to. It is Michael. We're asking many of our light workers on the front lines right now not to speak too much about the programs on the such as Nisara, because the beginning of the reveal is in progress right now. So I will confirm that that is so. We are on the eve. We are in the process of the RV and the GCR. The global currency reset is in process now. I will not expose what day that may land as so for you to go to the bank or you to receive your prosperity packages. But I will say and confirm it is in progress, as are the other programs that are to follow to lead you out of tyranny and slavery once and for all. The vehicles, the tools put in place by our coordinated effort of us and you, and we are one and the same after all. You are us on the ground. We are you in the higher dimensions. So,
should we prepare for disruption? Please just answer that.
Yeah, there's no need to prepare for disruption. You are guided in every day. You are safe. We are aware that some lightworkers have been saying, get 2 weeks of food and water or a month's worth. These decisions also must also come from within you. It's about you looking at the configurations now that you work with within. Noticing, oh, that was a little bit fearful, but I did it anyway, and having a laugh about it and letting it go. And the next time maybe not responding so much in that direction. This is a process of ascension. There is no making mistakes. There's no doing it wrong. The process is designed brilliantly for you to reveal to yourself what you release through the ordinary events of your day. So when you have a decision like, should I get a month worth of food and water? You don't need to for catastrophe's sake. But the choice is yours. If you would like to, you may notice the feelings and the thoughts that you have going through the experience. That is how every moment will serve you. Notice what thoughts and feelings come up just about the idea to get some food and water.
Fear.
And there is a practicality to being. This is a tricky one. There is a practicality to being in a third dimension. But clinging to that practicality in the name of, but the third dimension is dangerous. This is where experiences like today, when you become relaxed and expansive, immediately you will see things differently when you expand beyond the third dimension. Those same events and questions will look entirely different. So I would say for everyone, it's a very good practice at this time to do that, to look at the question that comes up when you're relaxed and can expand and call in your angels and your guide, your team, and take a different look from another viewpoint, from a more expanded viewpoint.
Here's how I've handled this question in the past a few times. Okay, I'm at the store. I think I'll buy that 10-pound sack of rice. And then I bring it home and I go, I've got way too much rice. I think I better give some of this to my neighbors. So everybody benefits. Okay, Michael, I'm going to turn this over again to you. And then I think Sananda would like to say hello in a minute.
Oh, good. I get to introduce my brother. Perfect. As I've been speaking, if you notice, I paused intentionally. I'm sending out the transmissions of the answers so that now you can take the next step, which is to feel the words, feel the transmission, feel your own heart, your own body. Where are you coming from? Call upon me, call upon us, anytime. We have waited for this part of the training, of the ascension. You will move through it quickly, and you will be showing us what's next on the grid. Well, I'm going to just turn this talking stick over to my brother, Sananda. Christine, good today. I know that you ran a lot of energy through your body and simultaneously transmuted a lot because that was possible during this show. So good job. And we both send our love to you all. Sananda?
Thank you, Michael. Well, as usual, you two are brilliant. And thank you so much for this introduction to what the grid really is and what it means for everybody. This has been really fun to listen to. You wove it together in and out, up and down in such a nice way. And I just want to do what, you know, there's one of the dinar gurus, they call them, the currency gurus, who has a call. And at the end of his call, he says, okay, now, so-and-so, pray us out. So I'm here to pray us out. I'd like to reactivate our light pillar, brighten it up, shine it up again, even more, because there are more people now on the call, to send out your energy to the folks in the Middle East who are establishing that focus point, the grounding of all of our energies. So we're sending it to the people of Syria and to all the Middle East in the name of peace, prosperity, of course, and happiness. It's long overdue everywhere on the globe, but especially in those war-torn places that have been so difficult to live in for the people who are there. So we send our love and our deepest, deepest heartfelt hopes for peace, requests, demands even for peace in the Middle East and beyond to all our beautiful planet. My heart is with you all. I feel you. And Christine has described to you a bit about how she feels that. It is how we experience you. We experience every one of you as we're on this call. I feel your energy coming toward me, and I follow the thread of your energy back to you. And this way we connect heart to heart, all of us. Catherine found a picture on the internet the other day that was amusing, and I'll have her put it on their next newsletter. It's a picture of Tinker Toys. Some of you may remember what Tinker Toys look like. There are little round wooden things with holes in them, and you can put a stick in it going in all kinds of different directions, and then you attach another little ball and make the sticks go in all other directions. It's a lovely, simple kind of way to think about our grid and the way that Christine and Michael just described it to you. Each one of you are one of those nodes on the grid. Each one of your wishes and desires and thoughts creates an energy that flows out onto the grid. And this is why we tell you now, it's so important. What you think, what you feel, what you dream, because it's all coming into fruition, all of it. Now, I'm not saying be careful what you wish for. That's a different old saying. There's a piece of it that's true. But what we're saying now is it really matters what you think about, what you nurture in your heart. And the more you nurture in your heart the visions of peace, friendship, companionship, love between brothers and sisters here on earth, and now connect that love that flows between us and reach out to mother and father, to all your brothers and sisters who are just beyond your vision out there in space waiting to come and see you, waiting to greet you with open arms, waiting to know you personally, as we are beginning to know each other. It won't be so different. Soon it will be so easy for you to think about connecting with us and talking with us. It will be as natural as breathing. You see, it's already getting easier, isn't it? I just wanted to tell you that I'm here with you. The rest of my brothers and sisters are here with you as well. The company of heaven is fascinated with these calls because it attracts so many bright, bright lights. And the interaction and the sparks that fly amongst it and between and across the world because of everyone whose hearts are just lighting up and joining together, it's thrilling for us. And we also see our group of light workers in the Middle East creating a tremendous pillar of light and sending the energy outward all across Syria and the Middle East, melting away the fear. This is how peace is won, beloved brothers and sisters, not by fighting for it, not by creating battles, but by melting away the fear. Because, of course, it's fear that's behind war, fear that someone else will take away your land, or fear that someone else will try to make you believe something you don't want to believe. Let it all melt away. And as you do that, those nodes that were center points on the grid, the center points of fear and competition, anger, and mistrust, literally begin to melt away and disappear. And so the only way it can be reinstated is if people on the ground think about it more, initiate those feelings, and bring it back. Well, there's a simple answer, isn't there? Turn your attention to gratitude, curiosity, kindness, and love. We send those transmissions out to you in every word that we speak. Every time you connect with us, you increase that connection and that energy. We love you without end, dear brothers and sisters. We are your company of heaven. And I speak for mother and father. They're smiling on me and they're smiling on you to confirm we are together. We are one. We are bringing the light and we are ascending. We are entering the new golden age and all is unfolding just as it should. We will be celebrating together, hugging and dancing. Let's start now. Why wait? The more we celebrate, the more brilliant our success, the more glorious our triumph, the more gentle and sweet our new beginnings will be. I am your Sananda, and I love you without end. Namaste, dear brothers and sisters. Namaste, all.
Oh, thank you, Sananda. What a beautiful closure. Thank you so much.
Yeah. Thank you, Sananda. So, someone is saying, can I find out who my galactic cousins are in one of those ships? Well, yes. We're always up there. He sensed we were up there. Sananda is often in the New Jerusalem with Ashtar and friends. They sometimes meet there, other places as well around the universe. They can zip around, you know. We joke a lot here about angels don't really have wings, you know. But it doesn't stop us from pretending we have wings and thinking about wings and joking with Michael about his big, fabulous wings. But everyone can travel through dimensions. You don't need wings to do it. We can all go to the ships and be there with our brothers and sisters, so, and our dear friends. So on that note, I think it's time to play our music and wish everyone well. I'm not certain if we'll be having a Wednesday call or not, but I will be putting out an email, an announcement, and people who also sign up on Blog Talk will also get a notification. So it's a good thing if you're signed up on Blog Talk, you get. I just saw a comment go by. This is really good. I so wish that the word ascension could be officially changed to expansion. Thank you, Irene. That's a great suggestion. Okay, and Cameron, what a delightful call. Thank you for coming. Yes, everyone, and thank you, Cameron, for keeping an eye on the chat room for us. That was fun. Okay, everybody, I'm going to play one of our favorite songs to pray us out here.
Yes.
Yes, Meg, you want to finish closing the circle for us? Okay.
Oh, well, I don't know. That was a pretty wonderful closure. But just a special thank you, I'll add, for all of you out there who have sent donations and your special loving wishes. We are so grateful. It allows this work to continue with so much more ease and grace than otherwise would be allowed. So a special thank you. And, yes, we'll look forward to your email about Wednesday's show. And until then, thank you so much for being with us. Thank you, Michael and Christine, and thank you, Sananda and Catherine.
And thank you, Meg. So long, everyone.
Goodbye.
Why be afraid if I'm not alone? Life is never easy, rest is unknown. And up to now, for me, it's been hands against souls. And each and every moment, searching what to believe. Coming out of the dark, I finally see the light now, and it's shining on me. Coming out.